I am going to start out our 2015 first base preview by saying I am very, very worried about Victor Martinez, and I will probably not be drafting him. How about you guys?
I'm very worried about Scott White, because I think he just severed a finger.
Oh, really?
I was playing with a measuring tape that was sitting in here for some reason that I don't know, and, you know, kind of like turning on the thing that makes it stay in its place, and
yeah,
undoing it and snapping it back, and I snapped it back onto my finger. And it's not, you know, it's not like a sewing kit measuring tape. It's like a real heavy duty, I'm going to build a house type of measuring tape. And so it hurt. But my finger is intact. The skin was not broken. So I don't think we need to invest any more time on the subject.
No, but I am going to say that they're very underrated in terms of just everyday fun. I can have a lot of fun with a measuring tape.
You have to be careful.
I don't know how to respond to that.
They're fun, exactly what you were doing. It's sneaky fun.
It is sneaky fun, I guess. Okay.
Now, when we talked about Victor Martinez last week, you guys were like, it's no big deal. Maybe I'll downgrade him like a round in the draft. I think one of you might have moved him one spot in your rankings. And he's part of our first base preview. I'm going to say Jonathan Lucroy, we already did our catcher look ahead, and Lucroy's hurt already. We're going to talk about that tomorrow or Friday on our mailbag show. This is going to be strictly first base. It's Wednesday, February 11th right now. We're talking first base here. We're going to look at all the important guys, look at a couple of drafts we did and when these guys went, sleepers, breakouts, busts, all that stuff. And just to say all the necessary things, I'm Adam Azer with Scott White, now Melchior. Now, down to business.
Are you going to give me a chance to respond to Victor Martinez?
No? Yes. I guess I will. How you feeling about Victor Martinez now? It's about 4 to 6 weeks. They're hopeful he'll be ready for opening day.
What you were saying about yesterday, us saying, just moving him down a spot at first base and dropping him around, is true. But it's also true that I'm worried. I think what it comes down to is there's just not a lot of hitters that have the potential to do what Victor Martinez did last year. Not a lot of hitters who deserve to go in the second or third round legitimately. So I can't bring myself to drop him out of that point, but at the same time, I don't want to be the one to draft him, because if you think you're worried about him now, Adam, consider his history. 2 years ago, he was coming back from a torn ACL, hit .258 with a .693 OPS in the first half, got hot late, and it salvaged the season a good bit, but it was ugly for a long time at the beginning there. People were dropping him. It was bad. The other time he had a serious injury was 2008. He ended up having elbow surgery mid-season, so he played with the injury some. He hit 2 home runs and 266 at-bats that year. He's just not the kind of guy who plays well at less than 100%. And even though, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, it should have him back in time for opening day, I wouldn't expect the knee to be 100% at that point. And there's just no telling what that kind of impact that can have on his hitting mechanics. We're already skeptical of him repeating the power from last year, so I think he has a better chance than most hitters in the broad sense of performing like a second or third rounder, but at the same time, I don't really feel like that's a safe pick.
Well, then don't do it and downgrade
him
then.
You were saying that.
I'd rather not.
Yeah, I know, but it's like...
Someone else does it.
But if you don't think anybody should, if you're not going to do it, then like make him a fourth round pick.
It's not that simple, Adam.
Oh, but it is.
I mean, are you going to, like...
This is the same thing I was saying about Buster Posey on our catchers podcast.
Well, yeah, but, like, there's no way I'm taking Victor Martinez in the second or third round, which is where he went in our points league second round and our roto league third round before his injury. Made sense there, I guess. But I was worried about him going in, living up to second or third round value when he's coming off his career year and he's 36 years old.
Well, here's the thing. Like, because who is safe among hitters at that point in the draft? And when I say at that point in the draft, we're talking about basically the very beginning. So just how many safe hitters are there in general? I would say Freddie Freeman's safe, but is he really worth drafting that early based on production? I don't know. Other hitters who went in the third round or in fourth round of our latest Roto Mock draft, George Springer, I wouldn't call him safe. Bryce Harper, couldn't call him safe. Ryan Braun, he's not safe. So I guess it's still okay to draft Victor Martinez at that point, even though my concerns with him, I think, are significant.
Okay. Al, I'll let you weigh in on this. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have too much different to say than what Scott said. I really feel pretty much the same way that I'll certainly drop him behind Edwin Encarnacion, who I had behind him before this. But then after that, it's Adrian Gonzalez and Freddie Freeman. And while I'm going to hesitate to take V-Mart, I don't feel that comfortable in relying on either of those guys as fallbacks. So it's just going to – it's just until draft time or at least mock time, I don't really know how hesitant I'm going to be to pull the trigger in, say, the third or fourth round on Martinez.
Oh, man. Like, I'd rather just wait and take Brandon Moss in the 10th round than take a risk.
But who are you taking in the third round instead?
A pitcher. I almost always take a pitcher in either the third or the fourth round.
That's fair, but what if
an outfielder?
What if your spot is such in the second round that you end up taking a pitcher there? You're going to go pitcher with your second and third picks?
No. I would probably take, like, I don't think Donaldson's going to fall to the third round. But if I'm taking a pitcher in the second round, it's the late second round. So now we're talking like early third round pick. Maybe there's a high end second baseman or third baseman there. Maybe Ian Desmond. I would consider taking him there. Or an outfielder. You know, I mean, you mentioned a few, like Puig slipped to the third round in our points league. But you're right. I if I'm going to take a hitter in the third round, I certainly want it to be someone, to your point, Scott, that is very reliable, that I feel very safe about. And I guess we don't really feel that way about Victor Martinez. There are a lot of other first basemen that we should talk about, though. We'll get back to V-Mart a little bit later. Do you want to hear a great stat about Adrian Gonzalez?
I do.
Because this kind of blew my mind. Last five seasons, here's what Adrian Gonzalez has hit with runners in scoring position. 407, 337, 392, 323, and 333. And I'm not a huge Gonzalez guy, but he's an RBI machine. He drives in 100 runs every year, 99 RBI or more in 8 straight seasons. So maybe I haven't fully appreciated Adrian Gonzalez and his ability to drive in runs and what that means for his fantasy value.
Well, here's another interesting exercise with Adrian Martinez. Do you have his numbers pulled up there?
Adrian Gonzalez? I do, yes.
Yeah, what did I say?
Adrian Martinez. You just can't get off V-Mart.
So you have his numbers pulled up there?
Yeah.
All right, you read batting average with runners in scoring positions last five seasons. What are the home run totals the last five seasons?
Well, I can tell you it was 27 in 2014, and it was 18 and 22, I believe, the previous 2 years. I know it added up to 40. I'm almost positive it was 18 in 2000. Yeah, 18 and 22.
22 2 years ago, 18 3 years ago. And that's, you know, when we're talking about hitters who are safe, I guess he's safe, but I don't know that I really buy the home run production last year because of what happened the previous 2 years. And last year, 8 of those home runs came in September. I think another 8 came in April. So that 4 month stretch during the middle of the year, he hit
11.
9 total? 11
yeah.
total?
That's a good point. He did say his shoulder was finally fully healthy and it was going to help his power. But I remember him absolutely owning the Diamondbacks. He said that when?
He said that in April, right?
Well, he hit 27 home runs, so I guess.
I know, but it was easy to say that when he was hitting 8 in April. What about the 11 over the next 4 months? I just don't know that I buy him as a big-time power hitter. And so, you know, even if the RBI are going to be disproportionately high, I don't know that I'm thrilled about him in the third or fourth round either.
No, not that high.
Well, not thrilled about him, but I think the point that I'm taking away, Adam, from that stat is that I think a lot of us are pretty uncertain about Gonzalez's power potential for this year. And that's a nice kind of, you know, soft blanket to fall back on, that even without great power, he's going to produce some runs.
With great power.
Comes great RBI total?
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking maybe Al had seen Spider-Man or something.
You know better than that.
I know better.
Actually, I thought it was, I was going to say, oh, certainly not in round 3 or anything. I didn't realize he actually did go pretty high. He went round 4 in our points league draft, and Gonzalez went around 3 in our roto draft. So let me give out the email address quickly. We're going to do a mailbag show Thursday or Friday this week, the 12th or the 13th. Ooh, Friday the 13th? Did you guys even realize that?
Oh!
I did not. It always sneaks up on me.
That's the necessary Friday the 13th sound effect.
Al, have you seen the movie Friday the 13th?
No, I have not.
Like the original?
Yep.
Kevin Bacon is in it, buddy.
Wow.
I'm still 7 degrees separated from him, even though I haven't seen that movie.
I haven't seen it either, Adam, but I have to say Friday the 13th is probably my number one favorite original NES Nintendo game.
Mm.
And I'm probably the only person on Earth who feels that way, but it's true.
You and everyone named Jason all felt that way.
Okay.
Email address is fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Please put baseball podcast in the subject line. And the fewer keeper questions we get, the better. So of the two drafts...
We've established that.
Yeah, I know, but you never know. We got new listeners all the time.
You know, you've inspired me to look up the top hitters with runners in scoring position over the last 5 years.
Oh, is it Adrian Gonzalez?
He's second.
Really?
Yeah.
Matt Holliday.
Miguel Cabrera.
Miguel Cabrera's first, yeah. 360. Gonzalez, second, 355. Now, from here on out, it's all players. Well, like Miguel Cabrera, who hit for a high average anyway.
Right, right.
Votto, Brantley, Cano, Jose Abreu. Seven is Daniel Murphy. That's pretty interesting.
Hmm.
Yadi Molina, then V-Mart. But I love number 10, and so will you, Scott. Chris Johnson hits 315 with runners in scoring position, or has hit, over the last 5 years.
Ah.
So we've done... I'm sorry, guys. I just want to move along a little bit here as we've argued a bit about two guys. we've done two drafts.
Uh-huh.
And one's a points league, one's a roto league. I asked you before we did the show... Give me one first base draft pick you liked and one you didn't. So, Al, give me one you liked.
I like Votto in round 6 in our roto draft. And, yes, that is roto draft, which is the format that he does less well in typically. But I just think that's a good risk. Clearly, he's going to make us a little bit nervous this year based on last season and maybe the last couple of seasons that he's come off. But... I think the batting average is due to get back to where it belongs, well above 300. And so the question for him is exactly how much power do we get? But I think with the batting average and probably a high run total, that should allow him to return some round 6 value. And then there's upside from there.
Scott, give me one first base draft pick that you liked.
It was actually a pick made by Al Melchior. It was in the head-to-head points league, though. Prince Fielder in round 9. I think it was the first pick in round 9.
Yes.
But I think that's appropriate value given the weighing the risk versus the reward, because this is a guy who was consistently first-round production prior to last year and then coming off the surgery this year, spinal fusion surgery, similar to what Peyton Manning had, which turned out pretty well for him, but obviously we don't know. There's a lot of different types of movement in baseball, and it's just hard to know how that's going to impact him in terms of power. So he could be a complete waste of a pick this year, but I think in round 9 that's you can live with that worst case scenario if it comes to pass.
And something very interesting happened with Fielder in the two drafts. He represented the beginning of a tier in one draft and the end of a tier in another draft, and I think I know what your answer is going to be, but I'll ask you where he really belongs. So in the points league draft, we saw Carlos Santana, Pujols, Adrian Gonzalez, and Votto go in round 4. And then we did not have another first baseman get drafted until Fielder, by Al, with the first pick of round 9. In the roto draft, we had Gonzalez in round 3, then Pujols round 4, Carlos Santana round 6, Joey Votto round 6, and then we had Fielder in round 6 with those guys. And then Trumbo in round 11. Mm-hmm. So it was like in the points league, he was the beginning of a new tier. And then in the roto league, I have a feeling you guys think he probably went too early in round 6 with the others.
I just made out my tiers actually yesterday. And the first name in the third tier at first base is Prince Fielder.
Okay. What are your expectations for Fielder this year, guys? Like, give me some numbers.
Gosh, that's one of those things where it's either going to be the high point or it's going to be the low point. I don't see him falling somewhere in the middle. Either the surgery worked or it didn't work. So, you know, he's hitting 280 with 30 home runs, or he's hitting 210 with 9 home runs, you know.
Well, that's funny that you threw out 280 with 30 home runs, because I'm looking at what I projected for him, and it is 282 with 28 home runs. So apparently I think we're getting the good Prince Fielder, but that's still not peak Prince Fielder. So there is some allowance for him to
even gain on there, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What do you make of the fact that before he had the neck surgery, he was awful last year? He hit 3 home runs in 42 games.
Well, he was hurt.
Was it apparent? Okay,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
From the beginning, he said the strength in his shoulder wasn't there.
Okay.
I forget which shoulder it was. I think left, because that's the one he'd be driving with. I think that sounds right.
Okay. All right, and Al, give me a first base draft pick you didn't like. You liked Votto in round 6, in round 6 in Roto. Which one didn't you like?
Well, you know, I'm going to give away kind of the behind the curtain scene here, because you asked us to think about these beforehand. Mm-hmm. So I said Prince Fielder in round 6 in the Roto draft. I think we've dissected that.
Okay. Scott, give me one you didn't like.
We dissected this one earlier too, so this podcast is going to speed up.
Good.
Adrian Gonzalez in round 3 of the Roto draft, I thought was a not so inspired pick.
When would you feel comfortable? Like, who would you have taken ahead of Adrian Gonzalez, or would you just waited at the position at that point? I'll tell you who went after him.
Well, I would have taken – let me make sure he didn't go before. I actually would have taken Albert Pujols ahead of him, but I don't think I would have taken him in round 3 either. That strikes me as a round 4 kind of guy.
What about Santana?
Carlos Santana? No.
Okay.
No, I think other than going – ahead of Pujols, which I don't like, I think the order Gonzalez went in is appropriate. I just think there's higher-end players available at that point, like Yu Darvish or Brian Dozier, knowing how much second base falls off, Ian Desmond knowing how much shortstop falls off. Even, let me double-check this. Yeah, I think even Todd Frazier in a Roto league, because of his ability to help in more categories, I think I would have done that instead.
So is first base a deep or shallow position, guys? Al?
Oh, I think it's deep. It's deep for sure. And actually, was talking with our esteemed, I don't know what his title is exactly, Jeff Tobin, Associate Managing Editor, I think.
Yeah.
Got to get that right.
Sure.
Yeah. So he's esteemed in any event. But, talking about draft strategy just a little bit before the podcast, and I was saying how in the first 2 rounds, I really want to come away with an outfielder. And I don't feel that way about first base. I do feel like it'd be nice to get an elite first baseman, but I do feel like I can wait on it because of the depth.
Yeah, I kind of have a different take on that. I do think first base is deep, but it's kind of an issue where you don't want to be the only kid left out of the pool or something. Well, I don't know if that's an expression, but it is now.
It is now.
Yeah. 5 first basemen I have as first rounders. Rizzo's kind of dangling there at the end. He might be an early second rounder instead. But 5, that's like half a league, are going to have a first round caliber first baseman. And I don't know that there's much you can do about it if you get left out of it. You don't want to, you know, your spot in the draft order determines whether or not you're one of those 5. But if you're not one of those 5, I do think it would be great if you could land a Freeman in the 3rd round, a Pujols in the 4th round, so that you're not just having to hope for the best with a Prince Fielder, Chris Davis bounce back type, or, Lucas Duda, somebody who's not entirely proven. Because if that doesn't pan out, then suddenly you're at a serious disadvantage at what should be a strong position for everybody. So it's just kind of scary if you don't end up with one of those 5. I don't know that it would really change my approach but it is kind of scary.
Okay.
So the pool analogy really works there, because it's scary to be left out of the pool.
It is. Well, it's kind of scary to be left in the pool, I think.
That is scarier, yeah.
Yeah.
Shouldn't go swimming alone, kids.
Question then. So if there are 5 first rounders, how many first basemen do you feel comfortable with as your starter? I'm good with Pujols. He's what, 7 or 8 for you?
10 for me.
10 for you. Okay. So how many does it go 12 deep? I'm guessing no for Scott. Like, how many guys do you feel comfortable with as your starting first baseman?
I guess it technically goes 13 deep, because the line in my rankings is between that second and third tier, which would be Gonzalez and Prince Fielder. But among those 13, I have Frazier, who probably be drafted as a third baseman. Santana probably drafted as a third baseman. Posey drafted as a catcher. So, I mean, you could say it's really more like 10. And that includes Joey Votto, who I don't think is super safe. Victor Martinez, we talked about why he's not safe. So I don't think it's like you necessarily would just want to wait for that 10th guy.
I'm pretty comfortable with 1 through 10. Obviously, I'd like to have one of the big five. And I do draw the line at 10, as Scott does. I'm excluding the catchers and Todd Frazier as well from that. So we draw the line at the same place. But I have pretty good comfort level with the second five.
Oh, I should clarify. Buster Posey, Todd Frazier, Chris Davis of the Orioles, they're all first base eligible. Posey, we talked about it in the Catcher podcast. Frazier and Davis, if you draft them, you're most likely going to want them as your third baseman, so we're not really going to focus on them. True or false, you shouldn't draft those guys as your starting first baseman. You should play them at either catcher or third base.
That is a true statement.
Yes. Okay, thank you. I knew that one, by the way. I just wanted some affirmation. And
feels good.
Steve Pierce is outfield eligible. Is Brandon Moss outfield eligible?
Yes.
So, you know, it could go either way, I guess, with those guys. But, you know, and obviously in the roto leagues where it's two catchers as opposed to the points leagues where it's one catcher, typically the strategy changes a lot at the catcher position. Here you've got a corner infield spot in roto and just, you know, and only one first baseman is necessary in points leagues. But I don't think it really changes that much. What do you guys think?
I agree with that, because there's a very real chance a first baseman's going to be your utility player. So
right.
More yeah. First basemen do get drafted in roto, but it's I think you value the distribution of depth. I think it's basically the same across formats.
Miguel Cabrera is number one for both of you, correct?
That is correct.
Yep.
Number one first baseman, not number one overall. And when would you take him? Number two overall?
I would. I would certainly toy with the idea of going as late as third or fourth overall. But not just for example, Labor had their annual 15-team roto draft last night. And Cabrera went 10th overall.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's – and I know that – I don't know which team took him, but I know that, you know, that's – there's some sentiment out there, you know, that's probably going to happen with some regularity going that late in the first round. But, yeah, I'd say more often than not, if I've got the number two pick, that's the way I'm going.
I understand if you don't take him, if you take McCutchen or Goldschmidt or
right.
Even Kershaw ahead of him, but 10 shocks me. I got to tell you guys, I think when we did our points league mock draft, I took Cabrera third. I think I would rather have Paul Goldschmidt. I'm kind of worried about Miguel Cabrera, just for obvious reasons, just for health reasons. And I think Goldschmidt is so good, and I don't know that you're losing that much. How crazy am I for taking if I take Goldschmidt over Cabrera?
It's not crazy at all. The logic makes sense. It's just, and Scott's made this point on previous podcasts, but not to say that Goldschmidt might not take his production a step further, but with any sort of rebound, I mean, Cabrera is going to be, you know, possibly challenging Trout for, you know.
Possibly overtaking Trout. I mean, Cabrera 2 years ago was better than Trout last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Trout's losing steals. You know,
yeah,
so. It's not crazy, but it's also not crazy to go for Goldschmidt.
Okay.
It's weird to think that you're drafting for safety with the number two pick, you know, but that's just the nature of it.
If we're tiering players all positions together, there's a tier of five at the top for me. Trout's always going to be number one, but it's pretty close between him and two through five. And Cabrera could be any of those two through five, I think.
So who am I for? Oh, so McCutchen, Goldschmidt, Kershaw, Cabrera, Trout in some order.
I'd include Stanton in that mix, too.
No, yeah. Oh. Actually, Stanton instead of Kershaw.
Right. I completely overlooked Stanton. Sorry about that. So with that said, if you have Cabrera number one, $260 budget, 12-team auction, how much are you going to bid for Cabrera? I don't remember what you said for Posey. I asked this question about Posey.
I've got Posey at 26.
Okay, so how much for Miggy?
So I've got Miggy listed at 39, but as with a lot of the top players, I'm certainly willing to go up to an extra $5 or so.
Okay. Yeah, I have 38, and I'd agree with that sentiment. I could see him pushing 40 in a mixed league auction.
How does the position change in AL-only and NL-only leagues?
I'd say not that much, really.
Yeah, it looks like a pretty even distribution there at the top. Yeah, in a way, looking at the top 20, I think NL might actually be a little deeper, but there's enough decent options outside the top 20 that I don't think I'm sweating it in AL-only leagues.
Yeah, the NL's deeper in mid-range guys.
Yeah. You know,
I'm looking at Duda, Adams, Belt, Morneau. There's really no AL counterparts in that particular tier.
LaRoche, Hosmer, Moss, right?
Yeah. So does that mean in an AL-only league you're more likely to spend a first-round pick on a first baseman than you might be in an NL-only league?
I don't think that's going to compel me to change my strategy. Certainly not in the first round.
Okay. Which first baseman have different values depending on league format, points versus roto?
Votto's,
to me, is the one that probably stands out the most.
Right, much better in points.
Points,
right?
Yeah.
I think it's easier to justify the risk on Victor Martinez in the third round in a points league, too. Because in the roto leagues, you're not worried so much about the high strikeout guys that follow. V-Mart with his, I think he walks more than he strikes out. He struck out a crazy low number of times last year, like 40-something, I feel like.
Yeah.
And that just shoots his head-to-head value through the roof. And if we go further down, we see some poor plate discipline guys that end up being more valuable in roto, like Matt Adams, Mark Trumbo,
Brandon Moss has been, yeah.
Yeah.
Carlos Santana's better in points for the same reasons as Votto, right?
Yeah, but I thought we weren't talking about him, Adam, because he's
third base. You're right. I apologize.
Yeah.
Okay, then. I think that more or less covers it. Basically, the bad plate discipline guys are better in roto, and the good plate discipline guys, the guys who walk a lot or get a lot of doubles, are better in points.
Joe Mauer probably better in head-to-head, but he's so low-end at this point that...
Crazy.
And yeah, with the smaller rosters in head-to-head, if it's a points league, that kind of neutralizes that advantage.
Yeah. So I noticed the OBPs are pretty high for a lot of first basemen, and more fantasy players are playing in OBP leagues. And this obviously is a factor with points leagues as well, because OBP is more so factored in that format. And maybe this just kind of runs from the last question into this current question. Which first baseman might hurt you in OBP leagues?
The one that really stands out for me is Pools.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's probably not going to walk a whole lot. I've gotten projected for 61 walks, one of the lowest totals among the top first basemen. And the batting average is not going to most likely compensate for that.
Todd Frazier, I would include in that group. And a few of the other guys I just mentioned, Matt Adams, Mark Trumbo.
You get to take Scott to task for mentioning
Frazier. I was just about to do it.
Oh, boy.
The pot calls right, the
next.
Kettle black.
Yeah. I'm next.
We're not talking about him.
All right, cool then. Blank is my favorite sleeper first baseman. Sleeper.
Duda.
Okay.
I like me some Duda. But in our roto mock, I took a butt as a corner infield type. So
you took what as a corner infield type?
Or not type. For my actual quarter infield slot.
You just called him a butt.
Yeah, that's what I thought he said.
What did I say?
I took a butt for my corner infield spot.
I think you meant to say a Duda, but you had just said butt.
Yeah.
And this podcast is gone
that's off the rails.
That's
my nickname for Lucas Duda.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. He's going to be like I was going to say the Seinfeld quote, but I don't feel comfortable saying he's the butt man.
There you go.
Anyway, all right, you took him as a corner infielder.
Yes, I did. So the point I was trying to make is that while I drafted him in that format, it's probably going to be a rarity that I would actually target him as my starting first baseman.
All right, Scott, who's your favorite sleeper first baseman?
Steve Pierce is my favorite. He can also play outfield, and I think maybe a lot of people tuned out when he kind of had his second win last year. Because remember, he got crazy hot in June. We were talking about him every day. Then he kind of faded and lost his job for a couple months there. Regained it in mid-August over his final 100 at-bats, 320 with 10 home runs. It got his OPS for the year up well over 900. He actually had a higher OPS than Bautista. And now, going into this year with some of their losses like Nelson Cruz, there's no doubting his playing time. I think we see him, you know, not have a Jose Bautista-like season, but start him every week kind of season.
He's got to be one of the most baffling players in fantasy this year, Steve Pierce. He's not young. He's turning 32 in April. And had a .373 on base percentage and a .556 slugging. Hit 21 homers in 102 games. But Pierce has been in the league since 2007, and he had never hit more than 4 home runs in a season. And last year he went crazy. He said that playing every day really helped him. He also said he changed his stance. How much are you buying into it, Al?
I'm buying into it a lot, and I do like him too. I probably would pursue Duda before Pierce, but not you know, by a whole lot. And the thing is that, as you mentioned, only hit 4 home runs or fewer, but I mean, it's really an understatement to say that he didn't get to play regularly. I mean, it was always just a cup of coffee here and a cup of coffee there. This was probably the first real chance he got to play every day for more than, you know, maybe a couple of weeks.
So explain to me, guys, you both have Chris Davis 15th in your Roto rankings, right? Or sorry, Chris Davis. I should be looking for Steve Pierce. You have him 19th and 21st. So if you're buying it, if you think he's a good player, then why would you spend a first-round pick on Abreu or Rizzo or whoever when you could just wait until the 15th round or whoever, 12th round to take Steve Pierce and load up at every other position? And maybe you take Duda and Pierce back-to-back and you hope one hits.
Well, because I don't put that much stock into what I believe, Adam. It could certainly blow up in my face, and then what am I doing at first base? I would rather take him as my third or fourth outfielder or my utility player, and so that way my whole season doesn't ride on his production.
Okay. Who's your favorite breakout first baseman this year?
I would say Belt, and I'm, you know, not sounding really excited here because in just looking through the ranks of first baseman, I don't see a lot of big breakout candidates. But you know, Belt's one that I've had sort of on breakout watch for at least a couple of years and hasn't really happened yet. But he's still young enough. He has still shown the different aspects of his offensive skill set that he could finally bring together, and I mean really to get to the point where he could finally hit for average and power at the same time. So he's the closest thing I see in the first base pool to a real breakout candidate.
Scott?
Speaking of a guy who's been on my radar the last couple of years, I'm going with Eric Hosmer here, and I think it's the right time for it because it's not when he's coming off a year where he deserves to be drafted in the fifth or sixth round, which are usually the years I've hyped him the most, and then it's backfired. So he clearly has this on-again, off-again tendency going on. But because he's been great more than just once, we know it's there. And the way he finished last season, last 136 at-bats, which includes the postseason, but I don't know why you wouldn't include it, .331 with 5 home runs. Still young, I think he's like just now 25 or something, and was such a big prospect in the minors that I think for a late round pick, it's worth the gamble that he picks up where he left off and has a year like he had 2013 and as a rookie in 2011.
Yeah, Hosmer is 25 years old. More likely to bounce back this year, and I'm going to frame it this way, more likely to bounce back in 2015 to what we expected in 2014, because I understand that they're in different tiers. Freddie Freeman or Matt Adams? Both fell short of expectations last year. Adams much more so than Freeman. But who's more likely to bounce back?
Yeah, so I don't feel like it's necessarily a fair comparison because Adams does have a longer way to go, but I don't think he's going to make it. So he could, but because he did fall off to such a high degree, because the Cardinals did bring in Mark Reynolds, which to me is a vote of no confidence in his ability to play, that is Adams' ability to play against lefties. I just think that there's too much working against him, whereas Freeman, I see absolutely no reason why he can't make a full rebound. Other than the lack of protection.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I have a hard... I mean, because Freeman still had a very good year. I have a hard time seeing him do better than he did last year with nobody around, and he's going to walk so much, which is great in leagues where it counts, but I think overall you're not going to be thrilled with... you're not going to get more than what you invest in him. I think Adams has a much better chance of delivering that. And really last year is the aberration as far as power goes, because throughout the minors, huge power hitter as a part-timer beginning his major league career, huge power hitter, hit 3 home runs during their 2 postseason series last year. So I'm willing to give him another shot at being a 25-plus homer guy. And I'm not really sure Mark Reynolds... You know, he's a safety net if Adams is terrible against lefties, but I don't think he's going to be a strict platoon player.
Adams hit 190 against lefties last year, and I'll say this about platoon players, if he is one. Just generally speaking, for everyone, the platoon players in points leagues can really hurt you. But in roto leagues, it's not nearly as damaging. If you get a guy's production, like Brandon Moss 2 years ago was a great example of a platoon player who, I think he was a top 12 or top 13 first baseman in the roto format. Actually was number 11 in roto 2 years ago based on the guys who are currently in the first base player pool. By the way, I like Moss, I think, kind of as a roto sleeper. I don't know how you guys feel, but he had a great first half, Brandon Moss. He hit .268 with 21 home runs. He was awesome. He slugged .530, and he was dreadful in the second half, but he was dealing with a hip injury. He batted .173. So I like him in roto as a sleeper.
Well, but he's coming off hip surgery, so that does worry me. I think there's some bust potential there. But I also think he'll probably, because a lot of people may be concerned about that, he could come cheaply and there's a lot of risk or a lot of reward with the risk.
A sleeper and bust at the same time.
Well, the only thing is, you know, he's going to go late enough where it's not really a bust to me. Like, I'm trying to look up where he went in our roto
draft. I mean, I think he went in the 14th round in both formats, but I've seen him go a lot earlier on other sites. So that's why I've seen him go basically alongside Mark Trumbo. And I think they could be comparable. I don't know that Brandon Moss is going to be a platoon player himself, because he hit better against lefties than righties last year. He kind of solved the lefty thing before the second half ruined everything.
Yeah, so, no, he was a platoon player 2 years ago, right, but not last year.
Yeah.
All right, Blank will be a bust.
I don't feel super confident about labeling anybody in this pool a bust, but I think there are several that I see as having some mild bust potential. And if I have to rank them, I'll put Adam LaRoche at the top.
Yeah, that's who I was going to say.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I marked two players, Victor Martinez, who we've talked extensively about, and then LaRoche. But go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, we've talked a little bit about Adams. Scott, you know, saying, you know, Moss has a sleeper and bust potential. I kind of feel the same way about Adams. I think maybe he could hit 40 home runs, or maybe he hits 10. I'm not sure. But I think there's some bust potential there with Adams as well.
So,
the concern for LaRoche with me is going to... Okay, so he had this kind of career... Well, it wasn't a career season exactly, but it was one of his better ones at age 34. So he's 35 this year. Going to a new team, the White Sox, who already have a first baseman in Abreu. Obviously, they have the DH spot, and Abreu is probably a better fit for that. But LaRoche hit like 200 against lefties last year and hasn't been adequate in them for several years now. And because it would be so easy to just slot Abreu at first base on those days they take LaRoche out of the lineup, I could see playing time being an issue, as well as just concerns about how likely he is to repeat the production he had at age 35. I mean, he was, on a per-game basis, the 9th best first baseman last year. We've never seen anything like that from LaRoche before.
Yeah, I'm distrustful of that as sort of an outlier, particularly at this stage in LaRoche's career. And tossing the fact that he's switching leagues, And I think after a long time in the NL, that could be difficult, at least initially.
But he's going to a great hitter's park, just to give an argument in his favor.
That is true.
Okay. Let's go through the draft results, and you guys tell me which values you like, which values you don't like. And they're pretty much the same, points league and roto league, so I'll just break down the points league draft results. Five went in the first round. Cabrera, third overall. Goldschmidt, sixth. Abreu, seventh. Encarnacion, 10th. And Rizzo, 11th. We'll stop there. Any thoughts? Doesn't have to be any.
No.
All right, then I'll ask a couple questions. Al will give you an Abreu question. Scott will give you a Rizzo question. So, Southside Al, I feel like you had some concerns about Jose Abreu in year two, and we have seen some players struggle in their second year in the majors, out of nowhere. Do you think Abreu could be a bit of a letdown this year?
I do, and if I've got the number seven pick, I'm probably not taking him. And that's where he went in this particular draft. I think there is very, very mild bust potential there. And I say that, and I really want to qualify this because I don't want to give the perception that I don't think he's going to be really good. I just don't know if he's going to be first 10 picks good. And that's, I think, pretty much universally where I expect him to go. But because of the power drop off late, he was still a very effective player. But not one that merits a top 10 overall pick.
Would you have taken either Encarnacion or Rizzo ahead of him?
No.
Scott, would you have taken Encarnacion or Rizzo ahead of Abreu?
It would have been a close call with Encarnacion, but I think I would have still taken Abreu.
Okay, then here's your Rizzo question. He didn't exactly perform like a first rounder last year, but that was probably because he missed some time. Anthony Rizzo, he did have a very, very good year. Is there any doubt that this guy is one of the next hitting stars of the game?
I don't have any doubts. I don't look at any of the numbers, and any part of it really strikes me as well, that's unsustainable. It's always walked a lot. And doesn't strike out an excessive amount for such a big power hitter. And here's the stat I really love for him. 32 home runs, right? 78 RBI.
Yeah.
Is there any chance with what the Cubs have and will continue to gain in their starting lineup over the course of next season, speaking specifically Chris Bryant, is there any chance a healthy Rizzo has just 78 RBI again? I don't think so.
Yeah. Good point. Okay, to round two and three. Victor Martinez went in the middle of round two, and Freddie Freeman went in round three. Would you guys rather have V-Mart or Freeman right now?
I would still rather have V-Mart. I think I almost said Freemart.
So you didn't call him butt or anything like that. How about you, Scott?
That's Duda.
I would also rather have V-Mart.
Boy, do I disagree.
It's just I'm so not excited about Freddie Freeman. You can only drop him so far too because he is safe. But man, it's a dreadful line. He's the one who's going to have 78 RBI this year.
Here's the thing, though. It's not like good hitters haven't had good years in bad lineups before.
But this lineup isn't just bad. It was bad last year, finishing second to last in runs scored. It is. Oh man,
hey, man.
It is like
Zoilo.
I don't even know how to describe it. It's so bad.
Zoilo, that's all I got to say.
Yeah, Zoilo Almonte. Like, he's one of the better. Like, BJ Upton, I think, is one of the best hitters in the Braves lineup right now. Yeah.
Well, then, we move on past Freddie Freeman. A bunch of first basemen go off the board in round four. I won't talk about Carlos Santana. I learned my lesson.
You just did.
Al Pujols, Adrian Gonzalez, Joey Votto. Pujols, Gonzalez, Votto. Any thoughts? Well, I know. Hey, I know Al likes Votto to rebound. Scott, how do you feel about him?
Yeah.
I think in terms of production, I like him still. To me, the biggest concerns are just health because it's been, I think it's been what? I don't have his game log. I don't have the year by year stats in front of me, but it's been a lot of health issues over the last few years. And yeah, 62 games last year, then 162 the year before, but then 111 the year before that.
Right.
So, I don't know. I think I just don't know that I could trust him to play 125 games if I drafted him. And so that concerns me. But I think it's appropriate value at that point because the per game production is going to be close to elite.
Moving to the next tier, Prince Fielder, first pick of round 9, Mark Trumbo, round 11, Adam LaRoche, last pick of round 13. Actually, let's just do Fielder and Trumbo. So we talked about Fielder. How about Mark Trumbo and his ability to bounce back? First of all, over under 240, and second, over under 30 home runs for Trumbo.
I'll take the under on the batting average, but I think, you know, it's probably going to be the coin that just lands on its side because 240 sounds about right to me. And 30 home runs, I'll take a slight over on that.
The coin that lands on its side, is that an expression or
it
did
is
you
now.
Make that up? I think it's better than the kid left out of the pool.
The coin that lands on its side at the bottom of the pool.
Oh,
at least it got in the pool, unlike that poor kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, Trumbo's interesting. Scott hates Trumbo. Scott doesn't like his albatross of a batting average.
Yeah.
But in Roto, a guy who can hit 30 home runs and drive in 9,500 runs is top 12 first base material.
This isn't Roto, Adam.
It isn't, but he went in round 11 in Roto, too.
Yeah, I like it better in Roto than head-to-head.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's terrible in either format. It's just not. I think the person who takes him there is going to be more excited than he should be. It probably won't be me. I'll probably be drafting whoever's left over from the Soler, Betts, Polanco, Castillo quartet at that point. But that's a different discussion for a different podcast.
The next group of first basemen all going after round 12, LaRoche, Steve Pierce, Lucas Duda, Matt Adams. I'll stop there, I guess. LaRoche, Pierce, Duda, Adams. Who's your favorite of that group of four?
Actually, even though I just called him the biggest potential bust at the position, I will say LaRoche because I think he's the one in that group. Well, I mean, Duda three rounds later, if we're going relative to position, I'd rather wait the three rounds to take Duda. Hmm. But just in terms of just which one do I think is going to do the most, I think probably LaRoche.
Yeah, I would actually take Duda first of that group, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I'm going to guess because I know it was really high. Once Duda took over first base to the end of the year, he was probably about as good as LaRoche, and what we're calling, you know, maybe the last great season for LaRoche of very few great seasons. So yeah, I'll take Duda, and I'll take Pierce also over LaRoche, Yeah.
Do you think Lucas Duda has bust potential this year too? Like, could you see it going either way?
I guess you have to acknowledge the downside because he's disappointed so many times prior to last year. But I'm fairly confident it was a matter of him finally getting a chance to play every day and doing what he should have been doing all along.
Yeah, he hit 30 home runs. He hit 28 of them against righties. Something to keep in mind. Batted 180 against lefties. That's Lucas Duda. You know, last year there were Rizzo went kind of late and Abreu went. Well, they probably went around the same time, round 9, round 10, something like that. But they were obvious guys that seemed to have a lot of potential to jump into one of the top tiers. Do you see that this year, or do you see less excitement in those mid to late round picks?
Yeah, I would say less excitement. I mean, maybe Pierce and Duda do even more than they did last year. I think there's some potential there. Sorry, there was another name I wanted to throw out there. Matt Adams.
Yeah,
again, like
yeah.
I said, he could hit 35 to 40 home runs. I'm not really expecting it, but I think it's in the range of reasonable possibility for him. And that's and I guess I'll add Belt since I do think there's breakout potential. And that really is it for me. And I'm not as excited about any of those guys as I was the potential breakout guys last year, including Belt and Adams. I expected a lot more a year ago.
Well, and I would add Hosmer to that list for this year, but I would also put it in the second addendum, second caveat on there that I was more excited about him last year than I am this year. So it's Yeah, that's two positions in a row. I think we've said that about catcher and first base. First base, there's obviously a lot more there to fall back on, but there was a lot of letdown at the position last year.
Well, Brandon Belt, to be fair, before his concussion, 35 games, he hit .264 with 9 home runs. He had terrible walk-to-strike ratio, 8 walks, 38 strikeouts, and only a .317 on base, but Belt was slugging .504 at the time.
Well, and that's because we've seen him show good patience and plate discipline in the past. Right. So if he can manage that while he's slugging the ball, you know, then he's one of the first basemen. I think that does stand to go the farthest in increasing his value.
How do you Go ahead, Al.
No, I want to throw out two more names just to go deep because I don't know that we're going to get an opportunity to do that.
Are they Justin Morneau and Mike Napoli? Because those were the two
deeper.
I was. Oh, go ahead.
Deeper. Ike Davis and Logan Morrison. I'm not going to draft either guy in a 12-team mixed league because I don't think I need to, but there are ones I will, you know, watch. Davis especially as a potential waiver pickup, and I like him a lot in
the 14-15.
You're
just a Billy Bean apologist. Every move he makes is brilliant.
Well, I'm actually more just impressed by the report that he thinks he may finally be done with the Valley Fever. And, you know, it seems like we've read that before, so
yeah.
I don't want to get too excited about it. But that if that's really what's been behind what's going on the last 2 years, you know, this is a guy a couple years ago who did look like a major breakout candidate.
Man, that Valley Fever. Now, that makes me never want to visit Arizona.
Yeah.
That's scary. Connor Jackson, man.
Yep.
Never the same.
Okay.
I want to touch on Lomo for a second.
Okay. Go ahead.
Because he was my deeper sleeper. And there's not many deeper sleepers at this position, by the way. I think it's just because there's so many on the high end that you don't need to. There's not much left at the deep spots. But Lomo, last 24 games, .342 with 5 home runs and a .1042 OPS. And he's another guy, you know, not just Valley Fever, but real injuries. Basically, since the start of his career, sprained foot his sophomore season and then knee problems one after another thereafter, multiple surgeries. And he seemed to indicate that he was feeling healthy finally last year, and we saw a very strong finish. So I'm not ready to write him off, particularly in deeper leagues.
Scott, do you really not have Mark Teixeira in your top 40?
I have Mark Teixeira 29th.
Oh, Al, do you really not have Mark Teixeira in your top 40?
I will look it up, but I wouldn't be shocked if the answer was yes.
I don't think you do.
I don't. Yeah,
I'm not saying he's great or anything, but I think he's top 40. I mean, he's Brian Cashman says he's healthier. I think Teixeira is going to be a guy that people are going to be adding in deeper mixed leagues for sure at some point. But a lot of these guys could be. Like Adam Lind could be.
Yeah, I've actually got Teixeira one spot. Now, this is weird because I'm looking at my rankings and I actually do see him in this top 40, so I don't have to get to the bottom of that. But yeah, I see him. I have him valued right around where I have Ike Davis valued.
Okay. Oh, Ike Davis is 40th, so Teixeira might be 41.
There you go. Oh, and I know why. Because, yeah, that includes all the catchers and third basemen and outfielders that are dual eligible at first base.
Last question then.
Yeah.
Sorry, Al. Last question. Michael Morse, Ryan Howard, Joe Mauer, Kendrys Morales, Billy Butler. Morse, Howard, Mauer, Morales, Butler. If one of those five guys is going to have a good year, big year, top 12 type year out of nowhere, who would it be?
Morse for me, I don't even have to think about that because he got off to such a great start with the Giants. Now, health is always a concern for him, so you could just as easily finish out of the top 30 as in the top 12. But if he can stay healthy, and that hasn't happened in a long time, I wouldn't put it past him to do that. He can hit for power anywhere.
And I'm saying Mauer. I almost said Morneau. Not that Morneau couldn't do it if he stays healthy, but Mauer's the one I'm going to go with here. We were basically projecting him for that last year, and obviously he was terrible, but he was coming off a major concussion the year before, and we saw that kind of messed Morneau up for a few years there. That time I did mean to say Morneau. So, you know, I'm not counting on Maurer this year, but if you're saying flyer for the reserve rounds of a auction draft, what am I saying? A roto auction. Yeah, I think I said that. Reserve rounds of a roto auction. I could take Maurer there. I could do it.
What a smooth way to end the show.
I know. That's me.
Stay out of the pool, Scott White. All right. Thank you, Al and Scott. Thank you. That's all.
No,
you say
you're making this smoother.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Al and Scott. Thank you all for listening.
You're supposed to make us look better as the hosts, and you're failing to make yourself look even halfway decent. So,
well, that's making you look better, isn't it?
You're lowering yourself to our level. That's probably good. Yeah. No, I appreciate
exactly.
that.
Exactly. We're back later in the week with a mailbag podcast, fantasy baseball at CBSI.com. I'm Adam Azer for Scott White. Now, Melchior, thanks a lot for listening. First base is better than catcher. That's what we've learned so far.